You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, and it's a big day as well because it's supplementary budget day. With me for the 5 o'clock shadow is Scalc Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town. Let's get the budget out of the way, but don't spend too much time on it. What did you make of it?
No, I think it's... I always use the analogy, it's like kissing your sister. It's still a kiss, but it's also your sister. So I want to say, I mean, a lot expected. I think the Rand's sort of response on the budget speech were pretty much summing up the budget speech itself. So not a lot happened. We've now seen it weaken a little bit, after the U.S. markets opened. But while Tito Mboweni was speaking, there wasn't really fireworks. What to say about it? I know Wayne McCurry is going to talk about it. I know there's going to be quite some reports out. I think the biggest thing is just, when we look at the deficit we're looking at, it's going to be much wider, again, expected. 15.7% versus 6.8% expected in February. The shortfall, the revenue shortfall, that's quite excessive. We're looking at about 304 billion rand. Which is about three times the size, of the shortfall we've seen, that post correction 2008 credit crisis scenario. So this is excessive. This is, but we haven't been here. We haven't been in a lockdown scenario. So again, I think let's move on. Yeah, IMF also came out this morning, also brought out results. Or let's call it a forecast.
Yes.
For most of the countries' GDPs, South Africa were also changed. In March, they were forecasting a contraction of 5.8% in GDP for South Africa. Remember, April was already the post level 5 lockdown. So that's telling us where we are now. Now they've actually revised that, and they're looking at a retraction, a contraction in South African GDP of 8% for 2020. That's massive, massive, massive. So again, looking at the rand, currently at the 17.30, 17.40 levels, compared to where it started this year, might this be priced in already? Yes, I do think so. I do think we've have a lot of this priced in, and that's why we don't see, a huge negative reaction on the South African market and also the South African currency. I think the biggest contraction that we've seen in the markets in the latter part of today won't really do anything to do with the budget speeds. We're looking, I'm currently, quite amazed because this must be the first time in many days that we've seen the U.S. markets negative. It opened up 300 points down, quickly went to 500 points down. And the Dow currently, as we speak, is down over 630 points. So under pressure, we're looking at the Nasdaq that's breached at 10,000 points, made new highs, all-time highs every single day for the past few days. Today, losing over 200 points, dropping below that 10,000 points, and currently trading at 9,900 points. So interesting times coming from the U.S. I think that this might be just a bit of a breather that we were waiting for.
Let's have a look at those markets that you've just been referencing. My screen is 15 minutes delayed, but we've got a sort of split decision on the currencies because we've got the dollar rand at 17.37, which is a 0.7% weakness for the rand, and that's because of the euro-dollar exchange rate, which I'll come to in a moment. The British pound against the rand is 21.59. The euro-rand is 19.57. Again, differing more or less flatter against the pound and weaker against the euro. The euro-dollar is 1.1265, which is a 0.4% fall for the euro and strengthening for the US dollar. Commodities, therefore, the gold price was 1777, I think, at one stage today. It's now 1768, which is unchanged on the day. The platinum price is down $25 to 806, or 3% down. That's a big move. And palladium is what, Scalc Lowe?
Palladium currently is trading at, let me just quickly grab that again, it's 1902. So that's also down 1.1% today.
Okay, let's have a look at the oil price quickly, which is important. It's been hovering around that $40 a barrel mark for both the Brent crude oil and the West Texas Intermediate. And I'm going to give it to you right now because it is important.
Big drop. Big drop.
Yeah, there we go. This is big. This is a big move. And that's 38.27 on your West Texas, 5.5% weaker and 5.3% down for the Brent crude at $40.38 per barrel. Yeah, that is quite big stuff. So stuff going on overseas, which is, I suppose, good for South Africa. And when you see that CPI number that came out today, Skalk, 3%. Mm. Now, lest we forget, the South African Reserve Bank's target range for inflation in South Africa is 3 to 6%. So we're about to break out to the downside of the prescribed range. Who would have thought it?
This is good for us because remember they dramatically decreased rates in South Africa, interest rates in South Africa. And I think that the big worry always when you do something like that is you get a blowout on inflation. And that hasn't happened now. So even with the forecast, remember the forecast was fairly low. The forecast for March was 3.1% anyway. So coming in at 3% is more or less, what was expected. And this is also, for March. So let's see, what happens in April. Let's see how this turns out. I think for now, this might be very good because remember the Reserve Bank is going to be sitting again with rates soon with that decision. I've spoke about it last time, what can happen. I think, when we look at, a country like Brazil, when we look at it's equivalent to repo rate, they've reduced that last month to 3.25%. We've actually reduced our repo rate to 3.75%. So there's still about half percent in it which the Reserve Bank can play a bit to be on equal footing with a country like Brazil. And I think with this inflation rate that could be just the reason why they would do that, and most probably will.
We've gone through the spot markets now. Just give us an update on the S&P and the NASDAQ. I've got them down all around about 2.2 to 2.5%, but just give us that before we go through the JSE day, if you would, Scal.
So as we currently speak, S&P 500 is down 2.4% for the day. Dow Jones also down 2.4% and NASDAQ down 2%. Nice little day. And even the good old VIX has been fairly flat lately. That's a big heaver. That's up 12% today. So, the volatility is back.
Where is it? Because it was at 80% at one point, then came down into the 40s, I think it was. Where is it now?
It's trading at 35 now. Okay. So it's still, I want to say low, last year we've seen it, hoovering around the 10% level. So 35 is still a lot higher than we've been experiencing in 2019. But it's definitely a lot more volatile.
Quite a few announcements coming out. Harmony with a book build. It's obviously buying some Anglo Gold Ashanti assets. So that's well known by the market. The share price only down about 1.5%, something like that. What else did we have today? Tongaat Hulett trading statement. The share price was up. Now, wait a second. What happened in the auction? Because this thing was up around about 17-18% last time I looked, just before the auction. It's only closed up 4.5%. Am I wrong? Tell me about Tongaat Hulett.
No, you're right.
So what happened? It collapsed in the auction.
It seems like I'm looking at the share price now, and that's the thing. There was a bit of a pullback, but that's not a lot of volume. I'm trying to figure out here, but it doesn't. Yeah, I can't really see what the main reason for that. But most probably just because of the big retraction and the markets that maybe a lot of people were trying to get out as soon as possible as well. I don't know. No. But you're right. It did have a nice and strong pullback, just before the end of the day.
Impala Platinum came out with a market update, and it was it was okay, but the share price falling 6.1%, and that's obviously to do with the fact that the platinum price or the PGM basket was down quite significantly today, because apparently the Impala Platinum Holdings Limited June 2020 market update was quite favourable, down 6% though, Skulk.
Yeah, okay, so it's one of the biggest losers for today. Well, let's call it top 10 biggest losers, you know, on the JSE. And I wouldn't read too much into that. I actually felt that the update was fairly positive. Now, I think a lot of people are looking at that, let's call it the production levels. The production levels is going to be down. You know, when we look at the refined production levels, the revised guidance, we're looking at about, you know, 2,770, you know, to 2,000. So it is down. And when I look at it effectively on a percentage basis, we're looking at production is going to be down, you know, in the 2020 year of about, let's call it 9.9. Let's round it up, 10% levels. Always remember, this is a revised guidance. We've had a guidance on the 30th of April as well. And on that stage, the guidance was a lot lower. So what we've seen with after that guidance of 30th of April, we saw the Impala share price drop back from around about the 112, 130 rand levels, way back to, again, 100 rand, just below 100 rand. So that already has been and since then we've seen the share price moved up. You know, it's called 120 at one stage, very close to 130 rand levels. So this is just, I think, just people just realizing we're not going to see 2020 levels. Although, I mean, I think the main thing about the trading statement was, I think they called it something like it's business as usual or mining as usual or something like that. I can't remember what they mentioned, but it basically came down to, don't worry, we've got this. And I think that, in a sense, was very positive. So, yeah, I would say lukewarm. So still, we need to know that the production is going to be down about 10%, but at least it's way better than what originally was guided in April. And remember, this is going to be, you know, for results, it's going to be out more or less in September only. So there's still some possibility that this might improve even further, you know, looking at current levels.
Very good. Okay. What else can we talk about now? I don't want to talk about Brace. I've spoken about that with other people. The disaster continues, although it was the recipient of some buying today, up 30 cents or 10% to 3 rand 30 on the close. Let's have a look at what else do we have?
What is your consensus, by the way? What is your view on Brace? I mean, I'm not an investor, but it's this company that's been horrible. I mean, I know it's one of the darlings in the heyday, you know, three to five years ago. You know, what is your view? I would like to know.
It's probably going to bounce back. It's probably going to double in price over the next couple of years, simply because someone will come in and say, right, we're going to revamp this and we're going to restructure that and et cetera. But you shouldn't touch it, I don't think, unless you're a...
I'm really worried. I don't know why it's bounced, because remember, you know, we know that the balance sheet is now strengthened, you know, with the sale of Iceland Foods. So there's a bit of a strengthening, you know, reducing debt. But always remember that their largest holding is still a gym. It's Virgin Actives. I know lockdown sort of differs from country to country. But, you know, our Virgin Actives are closed. There's none of them are open as we currently speak.
This is a short-term thing, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, Scott, but I saw a real estate analysis yesterday and what people are doing. What people are doing is they're moving out of city centres, or rather the very short-term trend is for people not to go for the inner city areas where they can go to the gym and go to the bar, etc. They want to go somewhere out in the suburbs, a little bit cheaper, a lot more space, and they might have an office there, a room for an office there, and they might have a room for a gym there. So maybe people are just going to say, I don't really want to go to a gym anymore. I would say, you've alerted me to this now. I think the gym business generally could be under an enormous pressure, because people don't want to sit next to someone like you. I mean, I know you sweat a lot, and I know you don't go to a gym, but when you do, you don't wipe the equipment off afterwards, and you're a very bad gym person. I've seen evidence of that. So I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to some sweaty machine after Scalp Lowe's been there and get the risk of some resurgence of his disease, whatever he's got. Do you see what I mean?
I do see what you mean, and don't. So I'm not gonna agree nor deny. So the bottom line is just, you know, when you look at something like a Brait that has currently got more than 50%, well, let's call it more or less half of the company is basically Virgin Active. You need to ask yourself a serious question. You know, how long is this recovery going to be for gyms in general? And I see a much longer recovery, you know, compared to, you know, a lot of other industries, tourism, for instance, your restaurants and those kind of things. So you mentioned it in the beginning, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. I would definitely be very cautious, for anybody listening to this conversation, looking at a share price that is up 10% today, thinking, oh, this is good. Wait a minute, let's get back. Mm. It's going to become the darling of the heydays again. It's not the same company anymore. You know, the company's inside is, you know, New Look is still a struggling company. It's not a company that's, you know, financially doing very well and also financially healthy. I'm glad they sold Iceland Food because that sort of helped them. But yeah, if the crown jewels, namely Virgin Active, becomes under, you know, further pressure.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you. I mean, I said it might double over the next 2 years, but now I've had a look at the gym business. I think that the home gym is going to be the gym of the future, and it's not going to be social gymming.
I agree.
That's my knee-jerk reaction to that. Pepcor, very quickly, down nearly 4% today. Accelerated book build offering of Pepcor Holdings Limited. We knew about that last night, but the results came out this morning. Pepcor, what do you do with that?
Yeah, I think, well, you know, now after the book build was done at 11 Rand, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it's 11 Rand. It was done at 11 Rand. Share price naturally closed at around about, let's call it 11.41. So in line, there's going to be some more shares issued. But, you know, looking at the debt levels, the company debt levels are now being, you know, reduced. So that's looking good. And I'm a sort of not a closet bull. I'm actually fairly bullish on retailers in general in South Africa. Mm. I'm sort of picking the retailers because you need to be picking this. You need to find these companies with the stronger balance sheets. And I think now for any newcomer into Pepcor, you know, with this reduced debt levels, remember, there's going to be a lot of money. We just started off by talking about the inflation levels and how interest rates could stay lower for a longer period of time. And we're not talking about just lower inflation rate. We're talking about, you know, a lot lower inflation interest rate levels. This is a lot of money. There's 130, 135 billion rands that's going to be in the consumer's pockets. Where are they going to spend this? I mean, I'm not going to be convinced that they're not going to spend it at places like Pepcor, Mr. Price, Truist, those type of places. So, yes, I do think that the Pepcor is something that I would hold on to for now.
We didn't mention Sun International. They gave a trading update or investor update, which wasn't published in full on the Stock Exchange News Service, but you had to go to the website. And after people went to the website, they loved it. Share price closing up 22%. What's that all about?
I think because when I looked at Sun International, also when Tongaat was still trading about 17% higher, Sun International was up about 5 or 6%, and end of the day 22% higher. So clearly, like you mentioned, people went to the website. Yeah, again, people they mentioned some of the things that might, because remember they don't know exactly what restrictions under level 3, you know, will include. So they look at it may include a crowd control of 50% capacity, et cetera, et cetera. Be that as it may, this is an environment that's opening up. And very similar to what I've said earlier in terms of, you know, the consumers of Africa now has got more money in their pocket. And a lot of people usually ask me about where will this be used? I usually start off by saying, let's first look at where is it not going to be used. And then when we look at Stats SA, when we look at the personal savings as percentage of personal income, you know, those levels were around about, let's call it the 15% levels in the 70s, dropped down to about 11% in the 80s, currently trading at 0.6%. So I usually say, you know, it's easy to say where it's not going to go. It's not going to go into savings. People are not going to save that extra, let's call it 130, 135 billion rand. Places like Sun International will definitely capitalize, you know, with the opening, you know, of lockdown, opening of casinos now. So I think hence the big movement of 22%. Let's just look at see what happened with the planned rights offer.
Let's do so. Okay, let's have a look at the big movers according to my screen, Skulk. And if you just bear with me, I noticed the S&P going to new lows. The S&P futures just going to new lows as we speak. And it's a really bad day on the markets. And I think Mr. Trump, when he said that the last 50 days have been the best in the history of the stock market, and he's quite right, he doesn't tell us, of course, that it's coming off a low base. But the point is that... I mustn't talk about Trump. I get so annoyed. Bidvest up 4.7% today. Barlow World up nearly 4%. First round, a 3.5% winner. Investec Australia Portfolio Property Fund, rather, up 3.1%. And Fortress A, another property company, up 3%. On the downside, Hammerson down 8%. Sibanye Stillwater down 6.5%. Implats down 6.1%. And Northam down 6% because of that fall in the platinum price and also the stability of the South African rand. Any small or mid caps that have caught your eye today, Skulk?
No, not really. I mean, we were mentioning earlier the retailers. You know, that's the price, phenomenal day again, you know, and the market that was down 2%. We did see Mr. Price, you know, improve 2.4%. So I think, you know, that is adding to, you know, what I mentioned earlier on the interest rates. Just always remember on First Trend, you know, why First Trend really had this big movement of 3.5%. Remember we had the post effect of RMBH. Today it was trading. You actually now got your position. So I think there might just be a bit of top off for a lot of funds that's now inherited First Trend through their RMBHs. That could be a possible reason.
What were the closing indices today, please?
So the JSE, as I mentioned earlier, that was down 1.9%, closed at 54,448. Resource index, that's down 2.4%. Industrial index, 1.9%. And if financial index closed just shy of 1% down for today, while the US market is still dropping like a rock. But anyway, we'll get back to that. The turnover for today, value traded, a little bit over 20 billion rand. So, yeah, still a 20 billion rand day for today.
S&P futures down 2.8% at the moment, just off their lows, but still under extreme pressure. My quote of the day comes because of the gym story. Now, there's two different quotes here. One is inspirational and the other one is more Lindsay Williams. The first one is the inspirational one. Those who think they have not time for bodily exercise will sooner or later have to find time for illness. That's not a bad quote. I would agree with that. But also, at the same time, a chap called Adam Hargreaves said the following: getting fit is all about mind over matter. I don't mind, so it doesn't matter. And sometimes I feel like that. Skulk, thank you very much for your time this evening. We'll speak again tomorrow morning with the opening. That's Skulk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape of South Africa. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.